I'm Aaron Winawiski, and I teach here. I have a goal based on the commands of Jesus to teach us to obey everything he commanded. And for the last week, I've been in Florida. And before you think that, it was all cushy and everything was fine, I want to tell you just a couple of quick things about that experience. I was there for a church planting assessment center. There were 14 couples and one single guy who felt like maybe God was leading them to plant a church, and they came from all across the country. And I was part of a group of people that was, you know, about that same size, about 25 people, who were there to assess them over the course of the week. And Michelle and I went through this process when we were looking at potentially planting a church, and I thought that was tough until I became an assessor for the first time. This was my fifth time being an assessor. There was a guy there who told me about his first time assessing, and to just give you an idea, when he was in the airport in order to fly home after these 5 days of assessing, when he tells a story, he says he picked up a hamburger and he was sitting at his gate eating his hamburger, thinking about how good that burger was, and didn't realize that he was watching his plane pull away and fly because he was so just completely spent from the whole week. And he went to the gate agents and said, wait, that's my plane. And they said, we've been calling your name. We've been saying it over the PA. He just was that spent from the week. That's the kind of week it is. I also get to serve with some people where I get to learn some things about church in different cultures. Like South Florida, fashion is very important. So a pastor that I got to work with as an assessor said that when he preaches on a Sunday, after he goes home, he takes that outfit off, he boxes it up, and sends it to a different pastor friend of his, because in South Florida, you can't wear the same outfit twice on stage or you will get ripped apart online because everybody's got this online presence. So that's South Florida. You guys I might wear the same thing next week because I'm just not even thinking about it that much. Music is really important in Nashville, of course. And one of the pastors I was serving with said that their music team leader stepped down from the leadership position when he realized that everyone he was serving with on stage, everyone else had won a Grammy Award. He was the only one who hadn't. Different culture, different stuff. I want us to be known for having a culture of replication, a culture of making disciple-making disciples, planting church, planting churches. So that's what this building project is about. It's not for our own comfort, for our own convenience. It is so that we have a better instrument to accomplish the mission God has given us. So we're scheduled to close on this building on the 28th of February, so about 2 weeks, and then we start with renovations. So that is that's a timeline. That's how things are going, and you're going to learn more as I learn more. We had a builder in mind, and it seems like they're not going to be able to meet our needs the best way. So we're looking for another builder who can help us get organized and do the best work possible at rock bottom prices is what we're hoping for. So that project is happening. I am pleased to welcome today a man who, when I was a kid, helped transition a church from meeting in a school to having their own building. I remember being very young and meeting in the high school band room at Mosinee High School. And then this gentleman here, Pastor Joss, led Good News Baptist Church from the high school setting into into their own building. He is a spiritual father to me, someone who has raised me spiritually since I was a child. That's no affront to my own father, who is also here. He understands what I mean, though, because he's been a spiritual father to you, too, in many ways. So if we can give a warm welcome to Pastor Dwayne Joss.
It's really a privilege to be here. And if I had known that I was going to live this long, I would have taken better care of my body, because it's causing me all kinds of problems. But God has been so, so good, so faithful. Whoops, that fell apart. Okay. Okay, I came to Mosinee 38 years ago to be the first pastor in a new church called Good News. And over the years, God has allowed me to be involved in ministry throughout the state of Wisconsin and the UP. And being an area minister for a number of years, when I turned 70, I retired as the senior pastor and went to help churches, to help pastors. And this last August, because of my body, my wife's body, we're 84 years old and we have a handicapped daughter, I decided it was time for me to be home more, to help my wife, to help my daughter, and to take better care of my body. And it's been a roller coaster ride the last year. And I had triple bypass in 2018, just at the very end. And then they found out that if I didn't do something, I was going to have blood clots form and cause a stroke. And somebody created a new device called the Watchman device. And I was looked at as a candidate. I was old enough, and my body was okay, at least until we got to the very end of the process. And they just found this out a little over a week ago now, that the appendage in my left atrium, which was the one that they were going to try to close off so that blood clots couldn't get to my brain, it was too small. It didn't have a device that small. So it was during that time that God really said, you need to learn how to minister better under weakness, out of weakness. And I've always been a very strong person, athletic, and all those kinds of issues. And I ministered out of strength. But now I'm learning how to be there, to pray more, to understand that ministry happens in many different ways. And as I am now the pastor emeritus in the church I was able to be a part of in the beginning, we are working on a process, and hopefully it'll start in a year or so, of helping people who are grieving all throughout the Wausau area, people who just need somebody to come alongside of them and help them to understand that grief is a bad process. I'll put that there, because once I get preaching, I'll probably forget it's there and I'll drop it. But anyway, I'd like you, if you would, and you have your Bibles, to turn to Colossians, the letter written by Paul while he was in prison. And some think it was Paul, and Timothy helped him. And then Epaphras is going to be mentioned there. He's from the church in Colossae. And we're going to understand something that was really special for Paul. And my prayer is, and we will work towards that end, is that New Day will begin to understand that God has a special plan for you as you enter into a new building, a new area, as you are going to become more visible as people drive by during the week, and people are going to begin to say, what is going on here? A new church. Maybe we should stop and see what it's all about. And this was kind of what was happening in Colossae when they started a church there, and God really used her in a powerful way. I titled my sermon, A New Day for a New Day. I suppose you've used that around here a lot, but that's really true. It's going to be a new day, a new time. And it's the beginning of a new adventure, and God is going to bless you. I really believe that with all my heart, and I know there's different ways that you're going to be struggling, decisions that are going to have to be made. When I went to Mosinee 38 years ago, the church was just meeting in the band room, a small group, and they had a verse that they were given by the Holy Spirit to be guided by, and it was out of Proverbs. And it says, we make our plans but the Lord will direct our steps. And that verse has been really important, and that's going to be helpful, I think, to New Day as well. You're going to be making plans, but let the Lord direct your steps. Let the Lord give you that direction as to which way and which time he would have you to do this. I'm going to be reading from Colossians chapter 1. And it says, "We always pray for you, and we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all God's people, which come from the confident hope of which God has reserved for you in heaven. You have had this expectation ever since you first heard of the truth of the good news. This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it has changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace." And in Colossians 1, 7 to 8, "You learned about the good news from Epaphras, our beloved co-worker. He is Christ's faithful servant, and he is helping us on your behalf. He has told us about the love for others that the Holy Spirit has given you." Would you pray with me? Father God, I pray that your Holy Spirit might really open up this passage, and you will use me to help truth be understood and to be heard. I pray that each one that is here, by your Holy Spirit, open up their ears. Give them their ability to hear you, not me, to hear you, as you speak to them about what it means to be a healthy church. Father, just pour out your Spirit upon us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, as I grew in my ministry, and I don't know if all of you know who I am, but I was in business in the 60s in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and doing well with my job, but not so well with my life, and I hit the wall with alcohol. I'm an alcoholic, and that is when, with a wife and four kids and a foster daughter, God began to do a work in me. And I made a decision back then that I was going to decide to follow Jesus. I didn't understand what that meant at all. I didn't understand what it all meant. But I knew it was going to be a new life for me. I knew there was going to be something that God was going to do that I couldn't quite figure out. And my wife today, we had a prayer time before I left, and keep her in your prayers. She's going through a hard time as well. But she just said this morning, "Man, that God, we didn't think this was going to happen to us, but thank you for allowing us to be a part of your plan in a community called Bozeny, Wisconsin." And I think as you go out to your new building and you begin to think about what this is going to mean, there's going to be new people seeing that there is a church here. There's going to be new opportunities to do ministry. There's going to be people that are going to be just seeking an answer to life, because so many today don't have an answer. No reason for living, no reason for dying. And that's what this being a Christian is really all about. When I begin my message this morning, I want you to think about this. It's something that I have used for years. Think about faith, because that is the first thing that we're going to be looking at. It says, "I have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus." And faith for me has become forsaking all, I trust him. It's not just about what I think, it's what I do. I'm going to trust Jesus. I'm going to take him at his word. I'm going to put him first. I'm going to try to be more like Jesus. And I'm still working on that. I'm still beginning to understand how, at my age, I can be used in many ways that I hadn't thought about. I think it was until about a month and a half ago that God brought me to my knees and helped me to understand that it was going to be okay, that I was going to be used in ways I hadn't thought possible. You see, I'm a man, as you can see. Some people aren't sure anymore, but I'm a man. And I think we need to know that as a man, I really am who I am because of what I do. It's harder for me to be who I am because of who I am in Christ Jesus, but I'm beginning to really work on that. And I hope that's true for you as well, and especially the men who are here today. Begin to understand that God chose you from the beginning of life to be his child, because he wants to use you to touch people in Jesus' name. He wants you to be a part of a church where they're reaching out to help people and spreading the gospel, not only here in Weston, Wausau, around here, but in the uttermost parts of the world. New Day has done that, and they've sent people out as missionaries, and I know that's a great thing. But I want you to really think about that. What does it mean that forsaking all, I'm going to trust Jesus? I am going to take him at his word. My first point, and they might want to write this down. I see there's room on the back of the bulletin that helps you, because I have learned that what I hear today, I will forget 90% of it by tomorrow, unless I get my body involved, unless I write something down and begin to put it into practice, then I begin to understand it better. And that's true of spiritual truths. My first point, the gift of faith provides the ability to believe and to obey God. Now, what do I mean by that? Now, when I came to Christ in 1968, all I understood is that God had sent his son, Jesus, to die on a cross for my sins. But I didn't understand fully what it meant that out of that relationship that I was going to soon begin to discover, I was going to be able to obey him. And I have had people, I had it in South Dakota, my first church for 6 years, and I've had some people here in Wisconsin that think it's an option. I can accept Jesus as my personal Savior, but I can, if I want to, accept Jesus as my Lord. And that's not biblical. That's just not biblical. When I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior, I accepted him as my Lord, as my Master. I didn't understand that back in the beginning, but over the years, over the times that I began to be tested, God has used his will in my life in ways that I hadn't understood, I began to really understand that when I was called not just to be saved and sit, I was called to be saved and serve. And the more you get involved in serving according to who you are and the way that God is going to gift you, the better life is going to be for you. And it's really going to be understood that God has given me the faith to believe. We find that in Scripture, Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you cannot take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. Now listen to this. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. If I would have thought that when I accepted Jesus and I wanted him to become the one that I would follow, that I was going to have to give up everything and become a pastor, I don't know. Would I have done it? I just sat at the kitchen table with a cup of coffee and I says, Lord, I'm told that you are there. And I'm going to act as if I believe that you are there. And I'm going to tell you I need help. And I want you to take my life and use it to help me better understand what being a Christian is really all about. Because I was in a church that had a list of things that made me a Christian. I couldn't go to movies. I loved to go to movies. I couldn't dance. My wife and I went to Arthur Murray Dancing School. I couldn't smoke, and I was smoking back then. I couldn't drink, and I was kind of not sure I was never going to drink again because I love beer and all that kind of stuff. I didn't know that God was going to help me understand that. Are those things biblical? And as I began to understand Scripture, no, that's not what being a Christian is all about. Being a Christian is loving one another, even as Christ has revealed God's love for me. And then beginning to live a life that enabled me to really figure it out. Romans chapter 10, 17. So faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. You know, when I begin to hear the word of God and I begin to say, yes, Lord, I understand that better. I will walk away from that. That's called repentance. And I will begin to put on a new behavior that's better, more pleasing to you. And I tell you, It's been 52 years now. And I have never regretted making that kind of a commitment. You know, I was this close to being in prison because I had, with my drinking, had stolen. I had done a whole bunch of stuff out of the store that I was serving. And God set me free from that, but then he began to introduce me to a whole new way of life. Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by a huge cloud of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sins that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. You know, that's how you become more like Jesus, by keeping your eyes on Jesus. I found a book that I was going to bring with me, and I thought, no, I don't think I have to do that, but it's the devotional. And it's talking about looking at yourself as God sees you and getting yourself right with God as we start a new year. And I work on that every morning. And what does it mean that I'm to live my life as if God so loves me that he wants me to be more like his son, so that our love relationship will be growing in a beautiful way? Now, the second point, this is a key, because I think I didn't understand this for quite a while. The gift of love guarantees our salvation. Now, let me help you understand what that means. My wife and I, we married 64 years this November. And you know why our marriage works? Is because we are committed to love each other. I have promised that I would love her till death do us part, and she has promised that as well. I don't always understand what that means, but together we're beginning to understand what oneness is really all about and what it means that the gift of love guarantees our salvation. Now listen to these verses out of 1 John. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we may have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins, 1 John 4:9-10. And then out of 1 John 4 again, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. All who confess, all who confess that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. I love the songs we sang this morning. They were so appropriate. I really believe that God is asking us to reveal his love to the world so that they might understand that they can live their lives out of a love relationship with God, that they can really begin to live that out. And I want you to just go to number 3. I know I'm going to have to be sensitive to the time, because this is what it's all about. The gift of love motivates us to serve. When we see that in Colossians, yeah, let me find it this way, it'd be better. It says, we have always prayed for you and give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and your love for all God's people, which come from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. You know, I do what I do because of the hope that God has given me that when this life is over, I will meet Jesus. And for me, at 84, that's going to be sooner than most of you here. But I've been living my life so that if today is the day, I will meet Jesus and there will be a smile on his face. And I will hear those words, well done, good and faithful service. the gift of hopes, and I'm not going to be able to read all the scriptures that I had here today, but what I really want you to do is go to the last couple of slides. I want you to remember these things. New Day is entering into a new day of doing ministry. The world is looking for that which only God can provide, a faith that is visible, not just what I believe, but what I do, a love that is unconditional and can be felt, or hope that is motivational, that it will really motivate us by our hope in Jesus, the promises that he's coming again, the promise of heaven, and what that's going to be. And my prayers for New Day will be guided by the prayer found in Colossians 1. May your faith be visible as you serve in the new ministry center. May your love be unconditional and be felt by many who need this touch. May your hope be that which motivates you to serve the one who is coming again. And Colossians 4:12 talks about Epaphras and what he did. Would you pray for me? Father God, I know that there is so much more that we need to think about. What it means that I have been saved by faith that has come from you, and it comes to me every day to enable me to live for you. I have been filled with that love that you have revealed in and through your Son and all that he has done to reveal that love. And I am motivated by that hope that has been given to me and to all your children, that if we live our lives to meet and serve Jesus, it will be worth it all. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Aaron.
Thank you, Pastor Joss. I've asked him to stay up here with me. And actually, could you take that seat? I think we'll be able to see you better if you're there. To stay up here with me for a moment. And this is like, what, did you say 38 years of ministry experience?
Well, that's in Mosinee.
Just in Mosinee?
Yeah, 6 years in South Dakota.
Okay. I was sitting there, I was thinking about, like, how old was I when Good News was in the middle school? Do you remember the year that...
Yeah, we were in the middle school from when I came in 82, and we stayed there until the latter part of 83. So we built pretty fast, but so it would have been 36 years ago.
Okay, all right. So I was like 6 years old.
6 years old, and I had the privilege.
The privilege of praying with me.
Yep.
As you talked about, to say to Jesus, you are my Savior and my Lord.
Right.
And now, we just heard that Heidi is working with our kids and providing that opportunity this morning for anybody, for any of the kids who haven't done that. And the legacy continues. That's wonderful. As we make this transition, and by the way, I love that you said, you gave us some really clear direction when you said a faith that is visible, a love that is unconditional, and a hope that is motivational, and you prayed for us and prayed that those things would happen in our new ministry center. And I'm so glad. I don't know if you guys caught this. I am hypersensitive to this. I see some heads nodding because you've been around me long enough. I'm so glad that you didn't say in your new church, because you get it. You understand this building is not the church.
No, it's not. It's a ministry center.
It's a ministry center for the people who are the church.
Right.
To have a place to work from. That was, thank you for saying it that way. That was great. So as we make this move, and you think back to leading a church through a move from rented space in a school to their own building, what advice can you give us? Like, what went really well for you, and what didn't go so well? What was a challenge, and what might you have done differently that can maybe help us?
I think as we moved into the new building, things began to happen quite fast because the community knew that we were there to stay. A lot of churches had come and met in a building, not a church building, but they'd met in a building, and then they had left. But when they saw that we were building and that there was something going on, they began to know. They thought we were a cult at first, but they had to come out and find out if we were or if we weren't. So I think what I would recommend is find a way to be waiting and knowing what God is doing. Who is he sending to your church? Because they are going to be the future church in addition to the people that are there. They're going to create a new building, a new attractive church.
Okay. Yeah. So there will be perhaps some new faces, some new interests, and that's going to become a part of the next season.
Be flexible. Right.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Because we were, for a while, we were who we were and weren't ready to change. But God was changing us, and we didn't even know it.
Okay.
Until after a while we did. Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's great. Anything. I mean, you said so much. I appreciate you personalizing the message to New Day. As you've seen us grow from infancy to now being, we're a teenage church. We're in September. It'll be 14 years. Anything else that you would like to give us in terms of a caution or an encouragement or even a correction?
Yeah, I think as you have been so active in ministry outside of the, you don't have a building, but outside you go out, you've been active, people know you here, but they think they're going to try to figure out why did you move into a building that appears maybe to be too small. But it's not. It's the right size for now. Might have to have two services. Who knows? Maybe three services. You know, we had three for a while. But I think you need to figure out what is it that God is doing and what is it that he wants us to do. We can't move too fast, can't move too slow. You'll pour yourself into your building for a while. Then I think you'll pour yourself into ministry.
All right.
Find out what is it that this community really wants from us.
Yeah. All right. All right, wonderful. When the series that we're going to start next week is called Renovation.
Ah.
And, of course, that has implications for the building. It also has implications for the vision and where we're going and what's next, and to have real clarity about that.
Yeah, the new devotional that I got is called Restoration.
Oh, okay.
It kind of fits in that, how do I get restored in the presence of God? Because there's going to be some restoration.
All right.
It's going to have to happen with you and the leaders here.
All right. Pastor Joss, it would be my honor and my pleasure to pray for you,
thank you.
As we transition to the next part of the service here. God, thank you for doing such a work in this man. I know that, in my mind, in my heart, I just want to thank you for him, and I know that he would immediately deflect that to you and say that I'm only thanking you, God, for him because of what Christ has done in him. And so I'm thankful to you, God, for that transformation, that restoration, that renovation that you've done in him that has opened so many minds and so many hearts to hear and receive you, Lord. I pray for his continued ministry for as long as you see it fit, and I pray for his wife Nancy that as she couldn't be here today, and as they struggle with some of the physical realities of aging, I thank you that you've given them hope for more, and I pray that hope would continue to grow, and that you would continue to care for and bless Pastor Joss and his family, and not only his physical family, also his spiritual legacy in this community, and that really has touched people literally around the world. God, may we have such a legacy in order to glorify you. In Jesus' name.